The Lord be with you. 6 years ago, I was serving a church in Brooklyn, New York. And in this congregation, there was a man who tragically ended his own life. And he left behind him a wife and 2 5-year-old twins. It was one of the most heartbreaking and difficult times in my ministry. And I, like these children's family, gathered around and tried to love and care for them. We explained as simply as we could that their father was in pain and he wasn't anymore, but that he was never coming back. And the kids didn't really understand this, but they knew everyone around them was sad. And we, as the adults, and even as other children in the family, we tried to play with these kids to bring them joy in a way that they could understand. But for those of us who knew the story about what had happened, every time we looked at these children, we could only think of the tragedy that had just occurred. And so we couldn't bring ourselves to play with them, at least not in a joyous way. The stories of what we had heard about these children were blocking up our hearts. And the same thing happens in our gospel lesson today to Jesus and his disciples. It says that Jesus went away from his home to the region of Tyre. Tyre is a city on the Mediterranean coast north of the Sea of Galilee. It's in a region called Phoenicia, which is not at all Jewish. And there, in Tyre, they meet a person who is not at all Jewish, a Syro-Phoenician woman, a Gentile, a woman who ethnically is a Canaanite. And the Canaanites and Jewish people have been at war with each other for over 1,000 years. You may remember from our stories of King Saul and King David that it was the Canaanites who these kings of Jerusalem went out to battle. And so for 1,000 years, Jewish people have heard stories about how bad these Canaanites are. And when this woman comes and begs Jesus, saying that she has a little daughter who is possessed by an unclean demon, and she begs Jesus to cast it out, Jesus responds to this woman not as a Messiah does to a mother begging for the health of her child. Jesus responds to this woman as a Jewish man with thousands of years of animosity towards Canaanite women. Jesus says, "It is not fitting to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The children, being the people of Israel, God's children who deserve God's blessings first and foremost, and Gentiles being the dogs. Now, here's the thing about dogs. Dogs care about far fewer things than humans do. If you're going to feed a dog, dog doesn't care if you serve them food on a silver platter or if you throw it on the ground. Dog doesn't care if you're wearing a tuxedo or rags, and a dog doesn't care if you're Jewish or Canaanite. Last week, we heard Jesus say that it is not the things outside of us that go in which defile us, but it is the things that come out of us from within. Those are the things that defile us. And this morning, from the book of Proverbs attributed to King Solomon, we hear that rich and poor have this in common, that the Lord is maker of them all. And both of these passages have a similar teaching, which is to say that we are not to judge people by the exterior, but remember what is in their heart, that we are all made by God. And this is dog's superpowers, to not get distracted by superficiality, but to look for what is within, to ask, "Are you going to love me and feed me?" Because at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. When I was in Brooklyn, there was a couple who lived a couple blocks from the church, a couple named David and Janet, and they had a big black dog that always hung out in their front yard. And this big dog was a favorite of all the children who would walk by. And it didn't matter if the children were white English speakers or Dominican Spanish speakers or Jewish Hasidic Hebrew speakers, the dog would love and play with all of them. This dog was so friendly that the couple got the dog certified to be a therapy dog, and they would take the dog into hospitals. Because when someone's in a hospital and they've got tubes going down their mouth and they've got a hospital gown on and they haven't washed their hair in days, I go and visit people like this and they're always like, "Oh, Pastor, I don't want you to see me in this state." But they don't say that to a dog. When the dog comes in, there's no sense of self-consciousness about the outward appearance. There's no awkward silence as people try to figure out what to say in that moment. The dog just shows up and the person in the hospital bed pets the dog and gets licked and feels better for it. And so I asked Janet if she would bring their dog, if she would bring their dog to see these two twins. And something amazing happened. When the dog came to visit those two twins, the dog was able to do something that the twins' family and friends and pastor could not. The dog treated these children not as characters in some great tragedy. The dog treated these two twins as children, to be loved and licked and snuggled with. And the children responded in the same light. Finally, there was someone who was just there to play with them, and they were overjoyed. They pet the dog, they wanted to climb on the dog, and eventually they did what every single child does when presented with a dog. They wanted to feed the dog. There is something about kids that if they have food and a dog comes up to them, they will feed the dog, whether it's under the table or in a park. And that's what these kids did. Jesus calls this Syrophoenician woman and her dying child dogs. And the most incredible thing happens in response. The woman hears Jesus' label for her, and she believes it. Right? Jesus calls her and her kid a dog, and she doesn't respond with defensiveness. She doesn't get her hackles up. She doesn't say, "Oh yeah? Well, my people got 1,000 years of names to call you. You're going to call me a dog? I got some choice words for what you are, Jesus." No. What the woman does is she hears Jesus' words, and she believes that every word that comes out of Jesus' mouth must be true and a blessing. The woman hears Jesus call her a dog, and she thinks to herself, "If Jesus says that I am a dog, then it must be that in this moment, what my daughter needs most is a dog. Someone who's not distracted by the outward appearance, someone who's not going to get caught up in stories told generation after generation, someone who's going to see the person in front of her for who that person is, and look for the love and food that might be offered," which is what this woman does. The woman hears Jesus calling her a dog, and she says, "Yes, Lord." But even the dogs eat crumbs from the children's table. In that moment, she is saying, "If I and my daughter are dogs compared to you, Jesus, and your disciples who are children, well, let's remember what children do to dogs. They feed them." In this moment, a foreign woman embodies Jesus' teachings better than he does. She doesn't judge based on outward appearance. She doesn't judge based on hearsay. She doesn't respond to like with like. Instead, she holds fast to the true identity given to both her and Jesus, the true identity given to each of them by God. And it's unclear why Jesus has this episode. It could be that Jesus has staged this whole encounter as a teaching moment for his disciples so that they, with all the prejudice that they would have against a Canaanite Syrophoenician woman, that they might say, oh, wait, wow, what incredible faith. But it could also be that Jesus is struggling with this also. We believe that Jesus is fully God, but we also believe that Jesus is fully human. And that Jesus was tempted by every single sin that we are tempted at by as humans. Now, we say that Jesus never succumbed to those sins, but his temptations were real. His wrestling with those sins were real. And perhaps this is a moment where we see that humanity of Jesus. We see that God became human in a man who was raised in a specific time and a specific place and a specific culture, one in which he was told his whole life stories about those people. And in this moment, through the faith of a woman, we see that recognition that even though those things have been put in him from the outside, he gets to decide what comes out of him from the inside. While it isn't clear why this episode happens, what is clear is that Jesus recognizes this woman's faith as profound and transformative. In response to the woman's comment, Jesus says that her daughter is healed. But it's not only the woman's daughter that is changed, also the ministry of Jesus and his disciples are forever changed. It says that after this encounter with the woman in Tyre, Jesus returns home to the Sea of Galilee by way of Sidon. Now, I don't know what your geography of the ancient Middle East is, but I got a map for you. So at the top of the map, you'll see Tyre on the Mediterranean coast. And it says Jesus went back to Galilee via Sidon. You'll see there's an arrow going from Tyre to Sidon, which is in the exact opposite direction of Galilee. Right? Literally, if he's trying to get to Galilee, Jesus walks 180 degrees in the wrong way. Because Jesus realizes that before he goes home, he needs to have more of a relationship with the people of Phoenicia. He goes deeper into their territory and he brings his disciples with him. And there in this foreign land, they encounter another man whose friends beg Jesus that he heal him. And Jesus does. This man who cannot speak and cannot hear, Jesus puts his fingers in his ears and touches his mouth and then says, Ephphatha, which is an Aramaic word, right? It's not the language of the Greek-speaking people of Phoenicia at this time. It is the language of Jesus and his disciples back in Galilee. He is saying this word not for the sake of the man he is healing. He is saying this word for the sake of his disciples who are listening. And this word means be opened. Be opened, yes, man, whose ears are stopped up, whose tongue is held tight. Be open to hear and speak, but more so, be opened, disciples. Be opened in your eyes and in your heart. See the person in front of you not as the stories that you have been told growing up, but as the person they truly are. Open your heart to love this person as a beloved child of God. Be opened. And then, even more circuitous on his way back home to Galilee, Jesus goes to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, Decapolis, which is still Gentile territory, and there he does another feeding miracle. Whereas before he fed the 5,000 people who were his own countrymen, now he feeds 4,000 Gentiles. He gives bread to his disciples, and he tells his disciples to feed them, to feed these people who for 1,000 years have been thought of as their enemies. No more do the dogs get just the crumbs, but now the children of God share the whole meal. I often have wondered, In the past 6 years, since I moved away from Brooklyn, what happened to those two twins? They would be 11 years old now. I wonder if they went back to Spain, where their mother was from, or if they went to Mexico, where their father had been from originally, or if they stayed there in New York. And while I don't know what happened to them, what I do know is that when that dog showed up and played with them, in that moment, they weren't Spaniards or Mexicans, they weren't immigrants, they weren't characters in a tragedy. They were children to be loved and fed. And when the dog did that with them, it helped the rest of us do the same. When our hearts and eyes are closed off to the people in front of us because of prejudice or preconceived notions, because of the stories that other people have told us, may God send us dogs into our lives, that we may be opened to being children of God. Amen.